What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 371st episode of the Kiss Podcast. It's super
kissy.
Kissy? That's not what they do. They do the like.
They do the hard rock.
I just bit my tongue and spit out blood. Grossy, grossy.
What? Yeah.
I know nothing about Kiss. We'll get
Wait,
there.
Which one of us is the cat and which one of us is.
I am definitely not the cat.
What were the other ones?
Hold on. Save your Kiss commentary for when we get there.
Please. I haven't kissed anybody in so long. I don't even remember. I got nothing to commentate on.
I'll pick up your slack.
This is a Pokemon podcast. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Will.
I believe my previous statement stands. Although I'm also aggravated that I bought 40 oversized sleeves for my card game that I bought at Gen Con, and I actually needed 50. And who's going to sell me 10 oversized card sleeves? Nobody. I've got to buy another pack of 40.
There's websites for that.
For 10 sleeves?
Greg is also here.
Hello.
No Gen Con life this episode because we got a lot of Pokemon news.
I don't believe you.
Wow.
We have a lot. I don't know.
What
even,
do we have? Nothing even, happened this last week.
Oh, we got this is a good transition because Gen Con has like board games and card games and D&D.
Yes. Yes, it has all those things.
And
it was actually founded by D&D, which I have to keep repeating to people over and over
that's
and over.
It's true. In Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
In Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Correct.
That's the gen of the Gen Con.
And a brand new Pokemon trading card game set has been released. See this transition? And it came with all these new wonderful cards, and already one of those cards is banned.
That sounds like what they do with Cardfight Vanguard. Where did Pokemon learn that trick?
So this is off Kotaku. Pokemon card requiring players to speak banned to prevent linguistic confusion.
What?
So there's a card in the new set called Blaine's Quiz Show. It is an uncommon supporter card that debuted in Unified Minds. The text on the card, I know not everyone who listens plays the Pokemon trading card game. A supporter card is a like an item or a trainer card. The only difference is you can only play one supporter card a turn. So they're usually pretty powerful and provide a lot of draw support.
They're pretty garbage.
Well, sometimes they're bad, but for the most part, they're good. This card specifically says, put a Pokemon from your hand face down in front of you and tell your opponent to name the name of the attack that it has. Your opponent has to guess the name of the Pokemon, and then you reveal it. If your opponent guesses right, they draw 4 cards. If they guess wrong, you draw 4 cards. Return the Pokemon to your hand.
Oh, this sounds like a staple in every Caturday deck.
So it's not, in this case, it's not particularly a good card.
It's not great.
Realistically, if you were going to play this card, you're probably playing more of a casual deck, not really competitive. But if for whatever reason you made it to like the finals, you're probably playing best 2 out of 3. You might be able to like throw your opponent off the first game, but after a while, your opponent's going to be like, I know what your deck is. So if they know you're playing like Caturday, and so they know you have Esper and you know you have Meow. Well, I guess Caturday is actually a good one because all those Pokemon know Caturday.
That's what I just said, dang. Dude.
So if you were playing, I don't know. Venomoth, Koga, Janine. I mean, Venomoth's move is cross poison. So if you were like, this Pokemon has cross poison, you'd be like, well, obviously it's Venomoth. Can't really be anything else, even though I don't know your whole deck yet. Anyways, it's banned. It's banned specifically at Worlds. I don't know if they'll keep the ban afterwards. But yeah. You are not allowed to play this card.
So that's not as bad as Cardfight Vanguard, so. Congrats to you, Pokemon. You've stayed above the bar.
For all of you guys, very excited to play Blaine's Quiz Show.
I mean, I was. Now it's ruined.
I do like the consistency or the dedication to making a card in the TCG very relating to the character from the video game slash anime.
Sure. I like that about Blaine's quiz program, but otherwise, any card that gives your possibly gives your opponent an advantage, not interested.
Well, they'd have to guess correctly, and if you have your hand full of 150 Pokemon,
Greg,
how are they going to know?
I know you've only played the Pokemon TCG like once in your life, but
maybe twice.
I've met these people, and literally one of the at your store, like even at your local store, like somebody who literally the only time they play Pokemon at their local store, they will like have memorized every potential deck that could be played, and they'll know. They'll just know. That's the way they do it.
We do have our big news of the new Sword and Shield trailer that came out, but we're gonna cover all the little news first.
Oh, little news.
Well, this little news is off Pokemon.com. A new Day with Pikachu Funko figure coming to Pokemon Center. Take a first look at the latest figure coming soon. Summer is giving away to fall, and with the changing seasons comes football. Even Pikachu is excited for a bit of sporting competition, and with football by its side, it's clearly ready to root for its favorite team. The charged up for game day figure is the latest entry in the continuing A Day with Pikachu collection, featuring the electric type Pokemon decked out in a jersey number 25 naturally.
Naturally.
Cheerfully waving a foamed glove shaped like the mythical Pokemon Victini. Any team would be lucky to have this as a Pikachu fan. All right, now we know Will's favorite Pokemon is Victini, and we know Will does not like football, so is this a purchase for you?
If it was a Victini with its holding a foam glove Pikachu, I'd be interested. I don't need no cutout Victini. Uh-uh.
I mean, on the side, the way that he's holding the thing, it looks like a very angry screaming bird.
Kind of does. Well,
I mean, that's Victini for you.
Isn't Victini based
off an
apple?
Where do you think angry birds came from? And did you say an apple?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure its head is like a...
No.
No.
Victini is based off of the statue Winged Victory. Period.
With a head that looks like an apple.
You know, so it's a chihuahua's head looks like an apple, too. Is everything... We live in a universe of apple. You're using an Apple computer right now, not you.
I am not.
I didn't say you. I excised you.
All right, so Victini's appearance may be based on Usagi Ringo, a method of cutting apple slices to make it look similar to rabbits. Conceptually, it might draw inspiration from Nike, the Greek winged goddess of victory, or Victoria, the Roman equivalent of Nike. Its tail wings might be a reference to Nike's wings. Is that how you say it? I'm just thinking of the brand Nike.
Nike, but the the rabbit in the moon is Usagi. Any Sailor Moon fan would know that.
So it's the process of cutting apples to make them look like rabbits. I can't say that Japanese word.
Which one?
Usagi.
Usagi Ringo.
Usagi Ringo?
Ringo,
yeah.
Oh. Yes, which means rabbit moon wing rings.
Is that why the shoe company Nike is called Nike? Because it's based off...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Today I learned. Thanks, Bulbapedia and Victini. I feel real dumb right now. Moving on.
But look, okay, so I sent you pictures of the apples. And they're right. Apple rabbits.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yes. That is delicious.
It does look really good.
We have
there are for listeners, there are step-by-step instructions on how to make your own Apple Victini.
Do we have Pokemon based on orange? I know we got bananas from Tropius. I don't think we have any oranges.
We have a citrus Bonsly. Pokemon?
Citrus? Bonsly?
No, he said Bons... The...
Bonsweet is based off of a fruit.
Oh, that's yeah, that's true.
It's a mangosteen, though. That's not citrus. That's not citrus. Like a piece of wood. Have you had a mangosteen before?
No.
take, just imagine like carving a circle of wood out of your table and putting something squishy on the inside, but you don't know it. So you just bite into it the first time. And then you're like, oh, wait, that's not how you eat this.
How did people figure out how to eat these things is my question. Trial and error. Is there an orange? There's cherry. Isn't there cherries? There's cherries. And what's this?
Yeah, cherim and cherubi.
Yeah, cherubi. But there's no orange.
I don't think so, yeah. How am I supposed to have my fruit team if I don't have the most popular fruit, the orange? Should I get into oranges? Should I buy more oranges?
No.
Yes.
What is the money fruit?
You don't need the sugar there. But here's the thing. I've heard that recently that there's actually been an increase of cases of rickets in the UK. So maybe Galar needs a citrus Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's true.
A little limey dude, or
Galar and Victini is based off of an orange.
There you go. Victini Galarin form is some sort of citrus. There you go.
I'll read this article, or I'll read this press release thing first off Pokemon.com, and then there was a little issue with how this was officially announced. But this is visit GameStop on August 17th for a Pokemon TCG trade and play event to celebrate the recent release of Unified Minds. GameStop is hosting a trade and play event at their store locations on Saturday, August 17th. Fans are invited to go to GameStop from 2 to 4 local time for giveaways and to interact with other fans. Attendees will receive a special oversized TCG booster pack that contains a mini pack of 3 Pokemon TCG cards, a Pokemon coin, an activity sheet, and a guide to trading. Players can also bring their own cards to show off and trade with other attendees and with the store. Of course, you'll have the opportunity to check out the latest Pokemon TCG products. As a bonus, Pokemon Pass users can receive a digital sticker for the use of the app on the day of the event. To receive the digital sticker, you need to download the Pokemon Pass app for iOS and Android. Pokemon Pass app is available for at the App Store and Google Play. This doesn't really say where you have to, like, be. Remember, the giveaways are only available while supplies last, so don't delay. Have fun trading and playing the TCG at GameStop on August 17th. I want to say that anyone who thinks that going to GameStop and having fun has never walked inside a GameStop.
Hey, well...
And as somebody who worked at GameStop decade ago, Saturday was the worst time for somebody just to come in, because Saturday is the day where, like, mom and dad are either very mad at little Johnny and bringing in all his games to teach him a lesson to trade them in for 45 cents, and or little Johnny took all of their parents' games or games that they got for Christmas and holidays, and they don't like it anymore, and they are coming in to trade those games in to buy a new game, and mom and dad are going to be very upset that little Johnny traded his games in for 45 cents. Both situations are bad.
No, obviously Saturday is trade day, so that's why they're having their trade event on Saturday.
I wish I was exaggerating, but like Saturday is literally when people bring like a laundry basket full of like Madden games in.
I got Madden 1970 to 1986, and I need to get 1987, so I'm trading them all in.
And like 9 times out of 10, it was like dirty, and you have to touch it, and like GameStop, GameStop never, ever schedules more than 2 people working at a GameStop, so you got one person scanning all these Madden games that aren't worth anything, and then you got another person dealing with a long line of checkout, and then you have a bunch of customers trying to ask questions, but there's only 2 employees. One's head deep in a laundry basket, and the other one's trying to get this huge line down, and you really expect these kids to be running around being like, trade with me? It ain't gonna happen, Pokemon!
Well, look. If you had sold more pre-orders, there would be more people staffed on Saturday. That's on you.
Yeah. Also, I believe the last time they had this kind of an event, you gave us an entire story about getting your cards and then the person at the register who had nothing better to do saying, "Do you want to trade with me?"
That's true. I did go in on and a very slow, that was a weird GameStop day. I also got like yelled at for not saying please. Because I walked in and I said, what were they giving away? Was it like Zera Aura or something? No, that was like a different time, I think. I walked in and I was like, hey, do you guys have any of those Zera Aura cards? And she was like, we say please here. And I was like, geez, what am I, a fourth grader right now?
I know. I think a fourth grader would have known to say please.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Look, you people.
Look, I didn't say.
There is no GameStop in Washington, D.C.
I didn't like snap my fingers at her.
I don't get to go to GameStop until I move out of this.
I said it very enthusiastically. I was like, hey, do you have any of the Zera Auras? Like, I wasn't like, hey, you not doing anything. Snap, snap, snap.
Enthusiasm
you got
is
that.
No replacement for politeness. Thank you, sir. I said thank you.
Well, the problem. Oh, here's the problem. GameStop, moving on. Okay, so okay. the problem was when this got posted August 9th, it was either on August 9th or August 8th, the Pokemon tweeted, something exciting happened on August 17th, and that's what they tweeted. And so if you're not in the know, you would be like, oh, is there a trailer? Is this Sword and Shield? But because of how Twitter works, the GameStop Twitter replied to that tweet saying something of the sort, like, oh, we're excited too. And then it was this social media branding thing that, like, the Pokemon company at Pokemon and at GameStop tweeted at each other back and forth like six times to then unveil that there's a August 17th trade and play event at GameStop. But if you, okay, the problem with that is if you're not following GameStop, you saw none of that conversation.
August 17th is when every real Pokemon fan will be here in Washington, D.C. for the Pokemon World Championships.
I mean, if you can't go, the second best thing is to go to GameStop.
I guess so, but there is no GameStop in Washington, D.C., so.
And there is here since I'm not going.
It's like a honeypot where, like, the world's best Pokemon TCG players will not be able to get, like, it's going to be the ultimate card. It's going to be, I don't know, Jirachit 2. I got this Jirachi in front of me for $20. If anybody wants it, let me know. I don't want no Jirachit.
But I will say this. So when it did say show more, but if you click on it, the very first thing is GameStop giving them eyeballs. And then Pokemon, the company, responds with an exclamation point. Then GameStop replies with a fist explosion and then the other fist, like,
I hate,
fist bumping.
I hate all of Twitter.
All right. And then Pokemon responds, trainer GameStop wants to battle. Name the place and we're there. Then GameStop replies, we've got just the place. Our Pokemon trade to play event on August 17th. Everyone who attends will receive, checks notes, a TCG booster that contains a mini pack of Pokemon TCG cards, a Pokemon coin, an activity sheet, and a guide to the Pokemon TCG. And then Pokemon Company replies, we're down.
I hate all
trainer,
of this.
Trainer, stay tuned for details on the upcoming event. One more reply is from somebody not involved with either of those two companies.
The only thing worse than this is the Reddit thread for it.
Oh, I don't go to Reddit. Reddit's a very dark place.
It has GIFs.
This is also off Pokemon.com. Buy Pokemon Detective Pikachu on Blu-ray or DVD and get a Pokemon TCG card.
There's a lot of them at Target. I almost bought it, but I didn't.
The 4K UHD combo pack, Blu-ray combo pack, and DVD special edition versions come jam-packed with an alternative opening. My Pokemon Adventure, creating the world of Detective Pikachu, Welcome to Rhyme City, uncovering the magic, action, colorful characters, and bringing Pokemon to life. There's also a Mr. Mime's audio commentary, Ryan Reynolds outside the actor studio, and Carry On by Rita Ora and Kygo music video.
Kygo or Koga?
K-Y-G-O? Kygo?
K-Y-G-O.
I guess that's not Koga.
I mean, I will say Mr. Mime's audio commentary is a pretty good joke.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That made me laugh.
The 4K UHD combo pack and Blu-ray combo pack will also feature a special detective mode which will allow you to watch the movie like you've never seen it before with a world of hidden clues, behind-the-scene footage, pop-up trivia, Pokemon facts, and fun featurettes, Easter eggs, and more. The movie is also available from select digital retailers, including Amazon, Fandango Now, Apple TV, PlayStation, Vudu, X, and Xbox. Keep in mind that the digital version does not include the special Pokemon TCG promo card.
Oh, Womp. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, they should email it to me. I bought it through Apple TV.
So I can print it out on my...
Yeah, print it out.
2000.
Well, does it even say what the card is?
It's the same Pikachu card that you got from the movie, except there's a logo on it. Whether you plan on getting Pokemon Detective Pikachu digitally or physically, you can look forward to solving the mystery again and again at home. Look forward to the home video release wherever movies are sold. They will also be doing 4 showings of Detective Pikachu at the World Championships, 2 on Friday and 2 on Saturday. If you have not seen it yet, and you are in DC. Speaking of, this is a bad transition. You can get a free Mewtwo.
None of these have been good.
You can get a free Mewtwo and Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee until September 6th. Unfortunately, this is not for people in the United States.
What?
I want free.
Me
too.
Well, you got the GameStop Play and Trade event. Enjoy.
I don't, because I live in a non-state.
To celebrate the launch of the Pokemon trading card game latest expansion, Unified Minds, the Pokemon company is giving trainers the chance to download an exclusive Mewtwo until September 6th. This will only be available at certain retailers, including Smith's Toy Store in the UK and Germany, as well as Pickwick Toys in France. The Mewtwo in question will be level 70 and have all of its awakening values, AVs, maxed out. It will know Amnesia, Psychic, Teleport, and Recover. To get this legendary Pokemon, you simply need to go to one of the stores above and ask for a serial code. You should be able to download it on your Nintendo Switch. Mewtwo is only available for Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Well, I expect our French listeners to go and get me some extra codes.
Oui.
Merci.
Speaking of delicious, Pokemon Go's September Community Day will feature Turtwig.
And how is that delicious?
Why did I leave an opening like that? So the thing is, if you pluck the little twigs from Turtwig and make a fire from, like a smoke fire, like you know how you do like barbecue with smoke?
That's
delicious. Turtwig seasoned brisket. So good.
Yeah. I mean, Turtwig's what? Like the cow of the Pokemon.
Milk
Tank is
cow
the cow
Pokemon.
Of the Pokemon world.
Well, it's probably meaty, Greg. Come on. You think it's made of...
There is nothing about Turtwig that looks meaty.
Can vegans eat Turtwig?
Oh, no. That's a good question.
But it's grass type. It doesn't have another typing, so it must be made of plant
matter. It does have another typing eventually.
Well, eventually isn't now.
The grass-type Pokemon Turtwig will be the star of September's Pokemon Go Community Day, and that will be taking place on Sunday, September 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time. They've switched the times again.
I tell you, I'm not happy about it.
No. Can they not?
I don't know. I don't mind the switching times.
Because you have no friends. I've got to organize these things with other people. And what we were having this nice, we'd get a nice lunch. And then we'd have community day. And then we'd have a nice dinner. And it was just a lovely day of food and friends. And now you're stamping your community day right in the middle of the lunch hour. And it ends too early for dinner.
Have a breakfast.
Breakfast is not a social event for me. Unless there's a yolk available. And guess what DC also does not have?
A yolk?
Yolk.
I mean, we don't have a yolk here either, but we have a lot of good places. But, like, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is just not a great time. I mean, none of them have been great times. But, like, consistency is good. Like, being able to say, hey, let's, like, oh, the next community day is coming up, let's set this time apart, especially if people have to get off work. Or
I mean, I feel like they're giving you a month ahead of time. They're more than a month.
They are. But that doesn't always matter.
Yeah, but not everyone can always do the 11, or not everyone can always do the 4.
Why? It's when most people get off work.
Hey, look, I don't know why.
Well, call your uncle up at Niantic and say, make it
better. Maybe after the last, what has it been, like 4 months of the 4 to 7, 5 months of the 4 to 7? Maybe they realized that from all of their data they gather that those times have not been as popular as the 11 to 2.
It was 1 to 3 before.
Was it? Oh, yeah, it was 1 to 3.
This is like a completely new time. Oh. This is a new choice of weird time.
Is it 11, though, cooler than 4? Because 4 is... Four is pretty hot.
Four is the hottest part of the day, but we are, right. I believe an earlier news article said we are transitioning from summer to autumn.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cooler. A friend of mine named Greg sent me a Snapchat recently, and it said 58 degrees.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know it's August? Because where I live in August, it doesn't get below 70 at any point in the day.
All right, I got two more quick news articles also relating to Pokemon Go. First is the current event happening right now. I think we talked about this last week, but just a reminder, the More Gifts, More Friends event is happening right now. So from Monday, August 5th through Monday, August 19th, you can hold 20 gifts instead of 10, and you can open 30 instead of 20. You can also hatch a shiny Bonsly. And the gifts that you do open, instead of giving you Alolan eggs, they give you 2K eggs. And those 2K eggs can hatch like Alolan Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah, I was very confused because I forgot about that part. And then I opened a gift and it gave me a 2K egg. I'm like, what? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you breaking on me? And then I looked.
And then this just happened about 2 days ago, but... Race your way through Safari Zone Montreal this September. The Pokemon Go team is excited to invite you to Safari Zone Montreal. This ticketed event will take place at the historic Circuit Gilles-Villeneuve at beautiful Parc Jean de Preux on St. Helens Island and Notre Dame Island in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It's a lot of words.
That was an oral disaster. Have you not taken like 5 minutes of French?
I took 2 years of French. Will, thank you. I failed.
What? You must have failed. You can't even say Quebec or Montreal. Like they say it on TV.
Quebec, is that not how you say it?
No, it's Quebec. We've killed Greg. You've killed Greg. The blame is on you, Steve Cerumi.
I actually had to go look it up to figure out what he was saying.
I mean, I studied French for 4 years. My French still isn't that great, but... Wow, that was a horror show.
Wait, how do you say... I know how to say the Beck part. K, is it not... Q-U-E does not... Quet?
No, it's Quebec.
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 Yes.
Montreal, Quebec.
Quebec.
Canada.
Don't they mostly speak French there? Isn't there like a huge thing where like
they only speak French there.
They like refuse to keep up with all of Canada.
Excuse, let's look. It is a bilingual country.
It is. And they want to secede from Canada and become all French.
Well, not even that, but hashtag politics. I'm not going to say anything about this particular country. We could learn from the Canadians.
September 20th through September 22nd, these two islands that I'm not going to repeat will be safari zones. There will be events happening throughout the world if you can't go. For example, Yanma will appear more frequently globally. If you don't have the picture in front of you, it looks like the regional exclusive will be Tropius, as it's pictured here in the item. I've already looked at flights. It's like $700 to get from Milwaukee to Canada. And for $700, I can pay an extra $100 more and fly to Japan, which I feel like I'm going to pick Japan over Canada.
Montreal is beautiful. It is one of the most beautiful places. So for those of you whose ears have recovered, it is Parc Jean Drapeau and Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Or Villeneuve. Wait. I think you leave the extra E off there.
Yeah, you...
Circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
Yeah.
And Parc Jean Drapeau.
That's what I said.
You can get Vivillon there, pretty sure.
You can get Vivillon and Villeneuve.
All right. Well, that's all
I'm looking at flights from Minneapolis. See how much flights are.
As Greg looks that up.
I would also have to get an airport. So I would have to get a passport, which I don't have right now.
Oh, yeah, I don't have one because I could drive there. Dang.
I finally got my passport back after my name change. It took 3 months.
Sounds about right.
The cheapest flight for me on Air Canada is, anybody want to guess?
I'm going to say $550.
$475.
You're both wrong. $418.
That's not awful.
That's not awful, but it's a lot more than I'm spending.
Is Canada so expensive to fly to? It's right over there. No one wants to fly. They should be welcoming us.
Also, I don't know what airport this is. It could be anywhere in Canada. This is nonstop flight.
I don't understand why it's so expensive. That's fine.
Oh, wait. Cheap Air just gave it to me for $382.
Still too much, I feel like, for a one-day event, because you're not going to be able to participate all 3 days.
No.
All right.
All of our Montreal, Quebec fans.
The Quebecois. Thank you.
Quebecois. We can go visit people I know there, though.
We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go over this Sword and Shield trailer that came out on Wednesday. It's 2 minutes long. The Japanese version was about 2.5 minutes long. Don't tell me it was three. Look, the last 30 seconds were ads about quick balls. It's 2.5. So we will be right back, and then we'll talk about Gene Simmons and Weezin' and stuff. They dropped the ball in the word splash. There probably could have been like making a zap, making a beep, 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 making a beep, 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 making beeps, making a beep, 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 making beeps.
That's a beep, 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 beep.
What a beep, 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 beep,
beep. Well, bop. I mean beep, 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 beep. That's a 2018 beep right there.
What a beep, 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 beep.
And we are back from our break. There was a new trailer shown. 100 days until launch of upcoming Sword and Shield video game. I guess is the reason that the Pokemon Company sent me this press release and said that there's a new trailer.
Is that what the press release said? Hey, there's a new trailer.
It says 100 days until the launch of Sword and Shield. In celebration of this occasion, the Pokemon Company and Nintendo today has revealed more details on the game. I guess I'll just go through the press release since this is an audio-only show. It's not like we can play the trailer.
Nope.
So if you haven't watched it, it's on youtube.com/Pokemon. That's all there is to it. They just put it on their YouTube and you can watch it. So they start off announcing Galarian Pokemon. Some Pokemon have been adapted to the unique environment of one specific region and do not look or behave like Pokemon of the same species found elsewhere. Regional forms of Pokemon can be found in Galar as well, and they're known as Galarian forms. I think everyone was pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for it. I love the whole thing. I love no more Pokedex numbers, but we get new Pokemons and they're cute as heck.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I like them.
I think Alolan forms are probably one of the most well-received things they did.
Wait a minute. I have to devil's advocate for a second. Quit now, frauds. Okay, go.
Yeah, right? I don't know anyone who was really vocally upset about Alolan stuff.
They have run out of ideas. They're just recycling the old Pokemon, just tossing pull a typing out of a box hat, and then they're like, well, what would this look like? Good to go. We're done.
To be fair, Charizard never got an Alolan form, so I guess.
That is true. All right. This is, I will attempt to say this in a language that they may understand. Yamero Sagi Shudan.
Is that
what did she do with you, soggy shoe?
Quit now, frauds.
Yeah, that's quit now, frauds.
Okay, nice. So the first one is Galarweezing. It is the poison gas Pokemon. Its typing is Poison Fairy.
Yes, or as I know them now, Charles and Benedict. Because all Galarweezing need to be named Charles and Benedict. You can pick which one's Charles and which one's Benedict. That is on you, but they will always be named Charles and Benedict.
I thought Charles and Benedict were like two dudes that you knew that you don't like anymore. And you're like, those are my poison fairies.
I don't know any Benedict.
Like the guys who go to Nelly's here in D.C., those are the poison fairies.
Those are the poison fairies. Well, I mean, I think most of us do know some poison fairies in our lives, but this is the first actual poison fairy type. Am I correct?
You're correct, yes.
Okay. It is,
and they have some fancy, fancy hats.
It's 9 feet. Speaking of their hats, it's 9 feet, 10 inches tall. That's American metrics. I'm sorry, everyone else in the world. It's 35 pounds, and it has the ability to levitate, and it has possibly a new ability. They have not unveiled what the
question mark.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just your rival from Gold and Silver then.
Correct.
Perfect. Galarweezing consumes polluted air and poisonous gases for sustenance.
AKA food.
Okay, I was going to say break it down for somebody who didn't pay attention during school. The byproducts of the consumption is purified air, which is spewed out from the top of its heads. The toxins accumulated within Weezing's bodies are concentrated poison gas clouds that leak out and drift around. This gas is so potent that even a whiff of it is enough to stun and immobilize its opponents, making Weezing the best weapon during battles. So, ideally, the gas around its face is poison, but the gas that comes out of its hat is purified.
Which is like a twist on the whole way actual smokestacks work.
I was just going to say, was this Pokemon conceived by like the coal lobby? The actual air you're breathing is bad for you.
It's bad for you.
The air that comes out of our coal-fired plants is pure and clean.
Let Benedict and Charles drink up your sweet poison farts and blast out clean air.
Does Pokemon now have, like, do they have now this obsession of we need to make really tall Pokemon because, no one can possibly hate a Pokemon that is a million feet tall, like Alolan Exeggutor, or, like, let's just make Weezing super tall.
I hate Alolan Exeggutor.
You what, do? What?
Alolan Exeggutor is doing its best.
It's so good.
It's taller than me, and nothing should be taller than William R. Anderson. So, there you go. See, I proved you wrong.
I mean, it's automatically funny, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, totally.
The things that go off the top of the screen is just like a good comedy sight gag. And they have Victorian mustaches made out of poison gas. Like, the whole thing is just, there's just like a charm to it that you can't be mad at. Like, you just look at it and go, oh, that's funny. Okay, I get it. They're wearing old-timey hats. They got poison mustaches like they've been into the poison milk. And they don't fit on screen. Like, it's a good gag.
Are we assuming that coughing is just regular? Is this like a Marowak or a Raichu of...
I'm assuming, because they announced the other one as the line, that this is just straight up.
Agreed.
So another question I'm proposing. Are we annoyed? Are we as a Pokemon community annoyed that they're focusing on another Gen 1 Pokemon when there are six other gens they could be focusing on?
Zigzagoon is not Gen 1.
No, I'm just saying that, like, all of the Alolan Pokemon were Gen 1, and now this is Gen 1 Galar.
I mean, if that's your complaint, you're living a pretty sweet life, that that's what you've got to complain about.
Of the ones that have not been touched in a very long time, Gen 1 has not been touched in a very long time. And people are going to have automatic, you know, pleasant feet. Like, if they suddenly announce that Galarian Electrode is an orange, they'll be like, oh, it's cute. Like,
you know what? Galarian Oddish is a citrus.
Oh my God.
Oh, there we go. No, I mean, I do think they play on that nostalgia. Am I annoyed by it? No, because I'm not annoyed by things getting Galarian forms or Alolan forms. Like, there's not, oh, they should have done better or they should have made something new. Like, I don't feel that way. I am sure, because this is the internet that we're talking about, there are a segment of people who are annoyed that these forms exist at all. Like, they would rather have something new than something reimagined.
We don't talk about leaks, but I'm going to bring up just a minor leak here. I promise you don't have to cover yours. It's not that big of a deal. But earlier before this trailer debuted, they did talk about Galar forms, which is correct. I mean, we now know Galar forms are a thing. And the leak mentioned that the trailer this week would show Pseudo Woodoo, like Galar Pseudo Woodoo. And if you watched the trailer, it did not show Pseudo Woodoo. So it's kind of interesting because there was a lot of stuff in that leak that was correct, but like that was like a huge miss. Like, how is most of your leak correct? And then you say Pseudo Woodoo will be shown as a Galar Pokemon, and then that doesn't come to light. So I could put on my like tinfoil hat and have this big brain theory that it wouldn't surprise me if the Pokemon company is trying to figure out who is leaking stuff. So they told some employees that these Pokemon would be featured and other employees that these Pokemon would be featured, so they could narrow down who was leaking the stuff. I don't doubt that there will be a Pseudo Woodoo as a Galar form, since Pseudo Woodoo is already deceiving because it's supposed to look like a tree, but it's a rock. But I just thought that was like very interesting that like 3 days before there was this leak saying that they're going to show Galar forms, they're going to show these two new rivals, and they're going to show Galar Pseudo Woodoo. And most of that was right, except the Pseudo Woodoo.
Let me posit an alternate thesis. The leaks are actually coming from an alternate universe. And in that universe, yeah, it was Pseudo Woodoo that was revealed.
That is some 8D chess right there.
Thank you very much. I work in double the dimensions of all you chess players. Somebody please teach me how to learn to play chess, because I want to learn. Thanks.
We'll come here and we'll hook you up. I mean, it is very likely that it depends on when they decided to announce what they were going to show and what they were making. I mean, there's a lot of ways that could have happened. Like, they had multiple project timelines and XYZ happened instead of ABC.
No, Z never happened. Z, it was just X and Y.
Oh, why do you exist? But yeah, I mean, are they probably going to use it to figure out who the leaker is? Absolutely they are. Unless they are fully aware and encouraging the leaks, which is also a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, they could be encouraging leaks. I mean, Apple's been accused of that before, of like, oh, Apple has purposely leaked this iPhone because it builds hype. They'll never admit that, though.
Well, but there's what Google did with the whole, was it Google and the Pixel? No, it was Samsung. I'm so confused. There was some company where their phone got leaked, and when people were like, saying, oh, look, it's a leaked phone, they were like, well, actually, that's not a leak. Here's the actual phone. And then they just gave out all the information.
Oh, I think that was Samsung, yeah.
Yeah, it was Samsung. Was that pre or post explosion?
Post.
It was within the past 2 months.
Yeah. I've before we move on to the next part of this press release. We're dipping our toes in Reddit.
Why?
Because Reddit has a screenshot from a... What a time to be alive. I go to Reddit to then get an iPhone screenshot of a game FAQ page.
Greg, can you please ask Charles and Benedict to come over to my house because I have now suddenly been doused in poison.
Yes, I will send Charles and Benedict over immediately.
This is from Game FAQs from 5 years ago. The poster's name is Labyrinth. The title of the post, again, on Game FAQs is How Will a Poison / Fairy Fare in the Pokemon X 3DS message board? Again, 5 years ago. It says, I'm new to this whole meta game, and I usually just play the game. If I'm doing calculations right, it'll lose a lot of resistance to poison, but it will gain a bunch of resistance to make up for it. I don't know how it would... IDK, also, how it would be look-wise. I am sure there's a fairy tale or mythical creature or something that would work out for a poison type. It would be funny, though, if Weezing were to get poison / fairy evolution.
That dude is playing the 4D chess right there.
I wouldn't bring you guys bad information.
That is some time travel weirdness.
Okay, so you want
wibbly,
do you want extra
and or wobbly?
Do you want extra whatever? I don't know, the wormhole quantum space.
Quantum, yeah. My
friend Dylan, who is a listener to this program, who is also an artist, one of those people that draws things with their hands, just sent me a photo of Charles and Benedict.
No!
That he drew himself. As if he could hear us talking about them right now.
I think we've been bugged.
Who is the leaker? Who is the leaker?
So there you go. There's just a little fun thing from 5 years ago that somebody predicted a poison fairy Weezing. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
That's the real 200 IQ. You just keep making predictions and then eventually you'll get something. You get something right.
That's actually called how psychics work.
Galar Zigzagoon, the tiny raccoon Pokemon, dark normal, 1 foot 4 inches tall, 38.6 pounds, with the ability Pickup and Gluttony. The Zigzagoon of Galar never settle down and are known to inhabit all areas of a region, including fields, forests, and towns. There is some speculation that the zigzag movements on the Zigzagoon and other regions stem from the restless nature of Galar Zigzagoon, considered to be the oldest branch of the species. Galarian Zigzagoon enjoys battles and will charge at people and other Pokemon in attempt to provoke a fight. This behavior usually succeeds in starting a battle with another Pokemon, but humans tend to think Galarian Zigzagoon is just playing or showing affection. Which then moves on to Galarian Linoon, the rushing Pokemon, dark normal, 1 foot 8 inches tall, 71.7 pounds with Pickup and Gluttony. Galarian Linoon can reach speeds of over 60 miles per hour and can deliver devastating tackles and headbutts.
I'll say within 60 miles an hour
with enough destruction, with enough destructive force to knock away a car. These attacks can also throw Linoon off balance if they miss. Anime episode written for you. Mm-hmm. Galarian Linoon are rash and fearless and will recklessly pick fights even if opponents are stronger than themselves. Their boldness and their tendency to attack opponents head-on make Galarian Linoon very popular among the disaffected youth of the Galar region.
Also, the best is that on the webpage, it's under the cat, it says, it's popular among unhappy and angry youths. Aw. Fuck up, teens.
Frowny boys.
Frowny yep. Boys, got your frowny pokes.
And then Galarian form evolutions. Living up to the unique environment of the Galar region, Some regional forms of Pokemon have developed unique evolutions unseen in any region. So this is something that is brand new. Sun and Moon did not do this. But we have Obstagoon, because I believe it's supposed to be obstacle.
Or obstinate.
This gives me a lot of problems.
Okay.
A lot that I have to work through.
It is the blocking Pokemon. It is dark normal. It is 5 feet, 3 inches tall. Somebody quickly see how tall Gene Simmons is.
It's as tall as you.
No, I'm 5'8".
Congrats.
Weight is 101.4 pounds, and it has the abilities Reckless and Guts. The Linoon of the Galar region live in harsh conditions and engage in fierce competition with others of their species.
As Gene Simmons is 69?
Yeah, why wouldn't he be?
As a result, their survival instincts have been honed, leading to their evolution into Obstagoon. Though Obstagoon is extremely combative, it is... It often does not launch the first attack. It will taunt its opponent, goading it into attack. When it does, Obstagoon will cross its arms and meet the oncoming attack with its obstruck move. Obstagoon is especially skilled at throwing its opponent off guard and countering with its sharp claws.
FYI, Gene Simmons, who is 69 years old, is 6'2".
Jeez, he's a tall man.
He's a tall dude.
He's a tall boy.
All right.
I also forgot to mention that I have had coffee at the Kiss Coffee Shop.
There's a Kiss Coffee Shop?
Yeah, and they sell Kiss Coffee. It's a real place that exists.
Is it in D.C.?
No, it's in South Carolina.
For our younger listeners, Will, you're the oldest on this show. No, wait, Greg is.
Excuse me. Pardon.
You're the young hip person on the show. Who is Gene Simmons, for those that might not know?
Gene Simmons is the lead singer of Kiss.
And what is a Kiss?
It is a rock band, a glamour rock band from the late 70s and early 80s. And they had a cartoon. I remember Didn't they help Santa Claus?
Scooby-Doo crossover at one point?
He's not the lead singer, though. Sure, he's the lead guitarist, isn't he?
Oh, who is the singer, then?
Are you telling me? Hold on. Before I started the show, I was expecting you both to be
Stanley is the lead. Gene Simmons is also lead. He's the bassist. Never mind. He is a lead singer, but he's also with Paul Stanley.
I expected both of you to be both Kiss fans.
I am not a Kiss fan.
You're not? This is the music of your generation.
No, it's not. Greg and
when they got super popular, they started in 1973.
When I was
3 years old.
That's the year I was born.
I mean, I will say I was aware of them, like, because 77, 78, people would say, is like the height of Kiss popularity.
77 and 78?
Yeah.
Really?
So that's like when they had the huge things. That's when the Paul Lynde Halloween special happened. Like, it was their first ever TV appearance. They had a ton of top, that's when all their hits were big. So, like, I was aware of them. Like, they were on cartoons. They showed up in Scooby-Doo, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
And I was aware of them. But I think also, like, my brother liked them because he was 3 years older than I was, and he could buy his own music at that point. So I think I've heard Kiss, but they were just slightly before I was aware of a lot of music. So, like, I knew who they were, and I remember the whole thing, like, ooh, who are the people under the makeup? And that, like, I remember them, the whole big thing in, like, the early 80s when it was like, oh, they're finally going to take off all their makeup and make it to see who they are. Oh, look, they're a bunch of dudes.
but also for me, right, you have to remember that when I was growing up, we were very Christian, Catholic.
Yeah.
And even though it's not true, there was there were things about the name Kiss that what people thought it meant, that meant that you did not listen to their music in a Christian household. They're very like, no, metal? No. I don't do metal.
what's the number one Kiss song? What would still be like if you're listening to like the oldies or like classic rock, you're gonna hear probably
this is classic rock. It's not oldies.
You're gonna hear like one. Well, what's oldies at this point? I feel like Blink 182 is considered oldies because
Blink 182 is oldies.
They definitely are.
Wasn't that 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like it was most things off of what was that album? Dressed to Kill?
Rock and Roll All Night? Is that them?
Yeah. Oh, Rock, yeah.
Detroit Rock City. Beth is a huge one.
Kiss also, like, they started, like, the hair band, right?
Yeah, they were, like, one of the first glam.
I wouldn't say they started it.
They were one of the first glam metals. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, like, that glam rock concept really came from them.
This is an article off IGN. Gene Simmons really likes the new Pokemon that looks like Gene Simmons. Obstagoon and Gene Simmons, a match made in heaven. Gene Simmons, frontman of the band Kiss, is happy that the Pokemon company has apparently chose to honor him with Obstagoon, a brand new Pokemon from the upcoming Pokemon Sword and Shield, with a striking resemblance to the rock star. As reported by Eurogamer, Obstagoon is a brand new Galarian evolution of Zigzagoon that was appeared earlier this week. Fans all over the internet pointed out the obvious comparison between Simmons and Obstagoon, and Simmons took to Twitter to share the initial thoughts with one word, whelp.
Which is, like, perfect. I mean, that is the absolute perfect first, like, whelp, here it is.
However, he provided a statement to Newsweek that said, quote, Pokemon has been part of a household for decades, and ever since our kids discovered them... And to see a Pokemon pay homage to Kiss is flattering. Now, the real question is whether or not he actually plays as his Pokemon doppelganger later this year when Pokemon Sword and Shield are both released on November 15th. I think there was like a small... It's a very humbling article because there have been Pokemon... This is not the first time, surprise, this is like not the first time that a Pokemon has been based on a person or... A persona, like I would say Kiss is like a persona, right? Like you dress up as Kiss.
Yeah. So just for people to understand, two statements I need to make. Paul Stanley was the star child. Gene Simmons was the demon.
Yep.
Ace Frehley was the spaceman, which was always a source of confusion over who was the star child and who was the spaceman.
Yeah, they're too close. They needed to like switch that out.
The Catman was Peter Criss. So that's number one.
But Gene Simmons had the longest tongue, correct?
That is the issue, that Gene Simmons is known for having an exceptionally long tongue. And that is the true resemblance with Obstagoon. But of course, it's just like every picture of Gene Simmons that's ever been taken, his tongue is sticking out. So,
except his Twitter pic. He's very...
He's 69 years old.
He's very old.
That tongue got dried out. It's a little leathery at this point.
I didn't know that there was also the Fox and the Ankh Warrior were parts of Kiss later. Like, I'm kind of digging the Ankh Warrior makeup.
Why not?
Also, just FYI, Kiss was huge in Japan.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that we're big in Japan. That whole phrase is because of Kiss. Like, that's like a popular, probably not true saying. But Kiss, like, the whole Kiss aesthetic just hit big in Japan. In the, like, right at the pop, like, when there wasn't a lot of crossover, like in the 70s, like in 77, Japan was all about Kiss. So Kiss has been a big part of Japanese culture for a long time. So the fact, like, people are like, why would they do this? I'm like, Japan is very well acquainted with Kiss. Like, they know, they're into it, it's fine.
Japan is also really into wrestling, and there are a lot of Pokemon based on wrestlers, specifically. And when I say Japan is, like, really into wrestling, it is, like, everyone just accepts that. Whereas, like, if you were to go to an American wrestling show, you're probably going to, like, primarily see... I'm sure there are statistics, but I would say, like... So, it's like four males to one female at, like, an American wrestling show. But, like, in Japan, it's, like, really 50-50. And you see a really broad age range of, like, younger to older. It's just part of their culture. So like with specific Pokemon, again, like a Pokemon being based on somebody isn't the first thing. There are two that come to mind specifically. Incineroar is based off the Japanese wrestler Tiger Mask, and Emboar is based off the American wrestler Bam Bam Bigelow. You could pull up a picture of Kiss, specifically Gene Simmons, and then Obstagoon, and you could be like, oh, these are clear inspirations. And you can do the same thing with New Japan Pro Wrestling Tiger Mask and Incineroar. There, FYI, there's two Tiger Masks. There's an evil Tiger Mask, and then there's the good Tiger Mask. Incineroar being dark type, obviously the evil Tiger Mask. And then you can do the same thing with WWF at the time, before they changed to WWE, Bam Bam Bigelow to Emboar, which explains Emboar's fighting. If I don't think a lot of people know that, like, Emboar is based on Bam Bam Bigelow, but also if you look at, like, Pig Knight, he's a little piggy wearing a wrestling singlet. the wrestling theme is pretty good in that, as once somebody points it out to you. I'm sure there are other Pokemon. I just don't have them off the top of my head based on people or things. I guess there was probably, before we move on from Obstagoon, I guess there was worried that Kiss...
Obstagoon, because I can no longer say that people who evolved their zigzags into Linoons become Linoon goons, because now they are obviously Obstagoons and my whole life is destroyed.
Okay. A lot of these, like, older rock bands are very sue-happy. Hasn't, like, Kiss sued for, like, multiple things in the past?
Oh, they've...
No, you're confusing them with Metallica.
Metallica sues everybody.
Okay.
I mean, they do.
Metallica was also, like, one of the few bands that, like, refused to be in iTunes, right?
Like, they were very much against electronic distribution of music. That's yeah. a very high yeah. level way of saying it.
I don't remember a lot of don't use our image lawsuits coming from Kiss, but like Kiss sold everybody rights to their image. Like, I don't think they have ever really kept that under wraps. Like, they're on lunchboxes, they were in Scooby Doo, had their own movies. I mean, I don't think like they would even bat an eye that somebody would base something off their stuff.
I mean, it's cool that he said his kids are super into Pokemon, so I'm sure, as like a dad, that's probably pretty exciting to see your likeness in a game that your kids enjoy.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you're relevant again for a while.
So we have some retconning happening.
Uh-oh.
Which Pokemon seems to do every now and then, which I don't have a problem with. I'm sure some people are definitely do have a problem with, but they're pretty much stating that Zigzagoon is originally from Galar.
Yeah.
And the Zigzagoon that you first met for the very first time in Hoenn, they've migrated from Galar, and the reason they don't evolve is because they are less aggressive. So because they cannot reach peak aggressiveness, that's why Linoon does not evolve into Obstagoon elsewhere.
Well, also because Hoenn is a much more pleasant place, so
yeah.
It was also the
Gen
environment
3 forever.
In Galar.
They didn't have to be dark. They can just be normal type. I don't... It's what... Like, I know a lot of people were really upset by it, because it's like... What? You know...
They did that with Exeggutor, like, too, didn't they? Like, Exeggutor is originally from Alola.
Right. Where it could grow longer. It's fine. Like... Just to pretend that this has not ever happened in the real world is foolish. Like, we have discovered older species of ones that we thought were original, like, a lot of times. It's fine. Like, it's a bit of lore that does not affect anything. And I'm always surprised at what people get upset about. Whatever. Like, they wanted to give it more flavor. They wanted, as you know... Badgers and stuff originally came from England. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Did badgers originate in England? Now I need to look that up.
I think so. I don't know. Hufflepuffs will know.
I mean, I'm a Hufflepuff, I should know.
I really like the four Galar Pokemon, or the three Galar Pokemon they've shown in the one evolution. I think they're all cool. I think they're okay. Let's take one more break, and then we'll talk about the rest of this trailer. And we got all the Kiss stuff out of the way. You know, not in 9 years did I ever think we're going to talk about Kiss on this podcast.
Never say never. That's what we're learning.
So we'll talk about the rest of the trailer, and then question of the week. Actually, we'll probably cut question of the week this week.
Oh, man, I had a good song, too.
We'll save it for next week, which we're actually recording today, because we're all out of town next week. Or
not me. I'll just do it all by myself.
I'm not out of town. Wait.
Well, I guess Will is in town. Well, I'm out of town, but I'll be with Will. So we're recording. It's a mess. We'll be right back.
They had people there to manage the flow of traffic. Be like, hey, walk this way, or hey, walk this way, just to keep it clear. Walk this way, or hey, walk this way. That all went okay.
Yeah.
They had people there directing traffic all day. I'm like, let these people walk. Let these people walk this way. Walk this way.
That's the one.
Walk this way.
Now
walk this way.
And you're good to go.
We are back from our break. The form-changing Pokemon. Some Pokemon can change their form often because of the effects of certain items or their own ability. Some of these form changes just don't change the Pokemon's appearance, but also affects the types or its moves or even changes its ability. So they showed a new Pokemon here. But are we classifying Aegislash as a form-changing Pokemon?
Sure, yeah, why not?
It changes forms.
Is there any other ones besides this new one?
That change forms? Oh, you mean change forms during battle?
Yeah, like Aegislash.
Well, that's
Kyogre and Groudon change?
Yeah, nah, but those are primal forms. Yeah. They need an item.
But it does say item. It says often because of the certain effects of an item or their own ability.
Well, yeah, so Shaymin has battle. Two forms.
Yeah.
Like, all the genies have two forms.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hiram's all formed up.
Yeah.
Plasma's all formed up.
I mean, there's some, but only ones that do it in battle, the only one I can think is Aegislash and the new one.
Real question. How do we say this? More Pekko or more Pico?
More. I always say more Pekko because of Peckish, but
yeah.
That doesn't have any basis in reality. Like, if we're going with the Japanese version, that'd be more Pico or Peh or Pekko. Who knows?
I think more Pekko.
I think
sounds
more
good.
Pekko is the way I'm going.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll wait for the anime or until somebody says this name out loud. It is the two-sided Pokemon. It's electric dark. It's 1 foot tall, 6.6 pounds, with the ability Hunger Switch.
Is this the first electric dark?
Yes, I think yes.
There's so many
because everybody thought
Pokemon
that Shinx should be electric dark, and it's not.
Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah, or I don't. Well, I mean, dark as in evil. I don't really see anything evil about Luxray. Not saying that all dark Pokemon are inherently evil, but that's what dark type stands for. There ain't nothing evil about Shinx. Maybe Luxray, but.
Well, it's evil in a different sense, not
right.
As in a willful act of malfeasance against another. It's evil as in the sense of there are bad things that happen in the universe, and that badness needs to have some name.
Yeah, well, they have a Pokemon for that. It's called Absol.
No, exactly, and that's why Absol is pure dark type. But Absol doesn't mean to do bad things.
No,
it's
right.
Just
no.
A representation of the bad things that happen in the universe.
Yeah, but that's why it's good for its lore, because people blame Absol. But Absol's...
Right. But Absol's there to say, hey, don't build your house in a floodplain. What are you people doing?
I think, though, anyone hungry can definitely be classified as dark type.
I mean... They should just say Morpeko, the Snickers commercial Pokemon.
Yeah.
Did the trailer literally say hangry?
Yes. It did. Yeah. Angry okay. form. Yes.
The sacks on Morpeko's cheeks consistently generate electricity. Where have I heard that sentence before?
I don't know.
This consumes energy, causing Morpeko to constantly be hungry. To satisfy this hunger, I'm not making this up. It literally says, Morpeko will grab a Snickers. Oh, wait.
It does not say that.
Morpeko will always carry around a berry seed to snack on. When experiencing prolonged hunger, Morpeko's hormone balance changes. This causes the fur to change color and triggers a more aggressive and volatile behavior. The energy
volatile.
I said that.
No, you said volatile.
I like that Pokemon.
Was adjusting on the fly. The energy stored in its cheek sacs also changes from electric to dark type. Morpeko's ability Hunger Switch is a new ability that causes it to change appearance each turn. The Aura Wheel is Morpeko's signature move and changes types depending on Morpeko's form. In full belly mode, its move is electric. In hangry mode, the move becomes dark type.
The way this reads, it auto changes each turn?
Yes. Whereas,
like,
doesn't like, Aegislash do?
Aegislash, no, Aegislash is move-based.
That with King Shield.
Yeah, if you do King Shield, it goes into shield form, and any attacking moves pops it out. But this makes it sound like it's going to just switch between the two forms every other turn. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, that's what I...
It is the two-sided Pokemon.
That's what I got from it.
I mean, I just think that's really hard to use.
Did that? Okay, so that what I was confused with is it says the energy stored in its sacs changes it from electric to dark. Is it dark electric, or is it electric one turn, dark the next turn?
That's the other question, though. Yeah. I don't know.
What a mysterious Pokemon.
Because if it's not actually electric dark, and it's just some turns electric, some turns dark, then we still technically don't have an electric dark Pokemon.
I mean, I have a feeling that it's going to be electric dark, and just, you know, it gets, like, Aura Wheel will be stabbed no matter what form it's in. It's just that if it's in its full mode, it'll be an electric attack, and in its dark mode, it will be... But I think the Pokemon itself will still be classified as electric dark type.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I think just the move changes. I don't think it's pure electric and then pure dark and then back to pure electric. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Just think that they can sell double the stuffed animals.
I know. This is the best electric mouse we've gotten so far.
Okay.
Except it's a hamster.
It's so cute.
So this is our Pikachu of the generation, correct?
Correct.
Sure.
It does.
This is the Togemaru of this generation.
It does literally have a Pikachu tail built into its coat. Yeah, if you look at its butt, it has Pikachu's tail. It's just not actually a tail.
Where have you seen its butt?
I've not seen a back picture of it. I have to look.
Well, that's fine. It's cute. I think it does look like Pikachu. I disagree with you. It looks like the original chubby Pikachu that's so cute. I don't like stuffed animals, but I want a stuffed hangry mode Morpeko. I will make one out of yarn.
I mean, people have already made them online. Like, how do they do these things so fast?
Because they don't have 40-hour-a-week jobs.
Oh, I see. I've seen a picture. So, in its pattern on the back, the tail, it's not a tail sticking out, it's the tail patterns in its back.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
It is in Pikachu's tail shape.
Yes, it is. Pikachu's tail shape and a lightning tail they're the same. So, yes, it's a lightning bolt shape. Agreed. Do we think it's getting an evolution? No.
No. Not at all. Pikachu, and then in Gen 2, we had Pichu, I guess?
Yeah.
And some people say Meryl, but Meryl does not count. One,
no,
Meryl evolves. Two, the only reason Meryl was even considered is because this was prior to the internet, where people were still on dial-up, and so when they showed Meryl for, I think it was because of the movie, because they were making a card about it, people called it Pikablu.
Pikablu.
Because they didn't know what
it was.
It was
referred to that in a book. There was like a book that had this description of it as Peekaboo.
Like an unofficial book.
No, I think it was an official book. It was like an accident. Like they just.
But Meryl is not a Pikachu clone.
No.
And then Gen 3 was Plusle and Minun.
Yeah.
And then Gen 4 was Pachirisu.
Pachirisu.
Which I guess is a squirrel, not really a mouse, because this is a hamster.
They're all rodents.
Yeah. And then Gen 5 is a Molga. Flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Flying squirrel.
And then Gen 6 is Dedenne. The best one, by far.
What?
It's no Emolga.
No.
Mm, yeah,
I mean, I like
better.
Dedenne, though.
I love Dedenne. And then Gen 7 is Togedemaru.
Togedemaru.
And for those saying Mimikyu, it is not a Pikachu clone.
It is a Pikachu disguise.
I mean, it's not a Pikachu. No. It's a ghost.
Yeah.
It just has a Pikachu outfit. I mean, it could wear a paper bag for all we know. It doesn't have to wear the Pikachu outfit to survive. But yeah, I think for the most part, people are pretty excited about this. I think it has more appeal than Dedenne and Emolga and pretty much everything prior to it, honestly.
I don't know if I can agree with that statement. I have to see it in action first on my team before I put it in a box because it's no good.
All right. We have the Rivals of Galar. Many trainers
are Rivals of Galar.
Many trainers across the region take part in the gym challenge, completing in which participants face various gyms of Galar with the hopes of becoming champion. Two rival trainers will compete on their adventures are Marnie and Bede. Is that how we're saying it?
It might be Betty.
It's hard. It's hard to say. It could be Bede. It could be Beady. It could be... I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see an official pronunciation. They don't give you that in your press release there?
They don't. It's a real bummer.
I'm going with Betty because that just sounds like an actual human name. Or you could call her Veronica, whichever is your preference.
Yeah.
What about Veronica?
Please, it's a reference to Archie comics. Just go on.
Okay. I guess I'm gonna stick with Bede.
I mean, so for looking at Bulbapedia, they say that the Japanese is from Beet. So if it's based off of Beet, it probably is Bede.
So Marnie is you would think. Look.
Oh, FYI.
Yeah,
the character's name Travis in French.
Whose name is Travis?
Bede.
Oh.
It says name, Travis, language, French,
oh,
Travis.
Oh, weird. Okay, sure.
Travis.
Travis? Oui?
Look, we're going to put it out there. There are some thirsty Pokemon fans. Sonia was already high on that list for people. And then Nessa came out. And boy, Pokemon really knows how to pander to their audience because the amount of fan art for Marnie is out of this world.
I mean, it's no Milo, but I get it.
The internet moves real fast on this kind of stuff. Who would have known that all you needed to do was change Gladion into a girl?
Hey!
The internet would lose their mind. Marnie is a rival who has a competitive size, and together with her partner Morpeko, she aims to become champion of Galar. She has many passionate fans due to her calm and calculated battle strategies. Bede.
And who are her fans?
Well, I'm going in order here.
Ugh.
Bede is a rival who is skilled at Pokemon battles and has the pride to match. He has joined the gym challenge, having received the endorsements from Rose, the chairman of the Galar Pokemon League. While he is clearly aiming to become champion, he seems to have some other objectives as well.
It's just N. Just is the end storyline again.
N wasn't a jerk though.
Well,
who said not with that attitude? Be a jerk.
Oh, they've translated their dialogue from the Japanese trailer.
Oh, I haven't watched the Japanese.
And his
trailer.
Dialogue says, "I'm a jerk." Is that what the dialogue is?
His dialogue is insulting to you. I can try to pull it up. I do dislike the, like, finally we get a bad rival or, like, an angry rival because people have this, like, big nostalgia trip about, like, Blue and Silver. And it's like, did you guys not play Black and White too? Like, Hugh was a pretty huge jerk. Well, he wasn't necessarily a jerk to you, but, like, just because you have a friend who's not a jerk to you, but is like a jerk to waiters or like staff, doesn't mean they're still not a jerk. Like Hugh was kind
he
of
was a jerk.
He had a bad attitude. And did no one just play Sun and Moon? Like Gladion was like legit also a jerk.
Yeah.
There was like not a single nice thing about him until like the reveal that he was Lily's brother. Here are some translations for what Beat says. He goes, isn't it pitiful that you let low-level Pokemon fight? Mind you, the league leader is better than the champion. In other words, as a leader chosen by the chairman, I am better than you.
Ooh.
So that's,
somebody's got confidence.
So that's some of his dialogue that was translated from Japanese.
Plus, he's just got a mean look. It's a very dismissive look on
yes,
the club page.
Yes. Although they just copied and pasted that from Gladion, so.
I mean, they just put a wig on Gladion and call it Marnie. Quit now, frauds.
Basically. I just have to be on the record of saying I hate Betty's jacket. And that there you go. That I just hate that style of jacket.
What, the purple?
It's high just neck? It's like the jacket that's so long it covers all of your clothes, but you're wearing shorts, you know?
Yeah, well.
It's a look. It's a look. I'm not
It's
into.
Not a look for you.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Chairman Rose, Olina, and Bead are all in league. They are the real bad guys.
Mm.
And they will be taken down.
Are we still not just assuming that Leon is the bad guy?
Now, Leon dresses too poorly to be really bad.
I'm so confused by all of this, everything that's happening, Galar. I have no concept anymore. I am knitting a copy of the player characters. Toque is the appropriate word to use for people in America. Beanie.
Hat.
And then finally we have Team Yell. Team Yell is a group of troublemakers who seem to appear everywhere and attempt to get in the way at every opportunity. They want
ball hooligans.
They want nothing more for Marnie to become champion, so they will obstruct other challengers. They take over hotel lobbies, prevent challengers from accessing transportation. They even shout out to distract opponents during battle. When Marnie battles, these Team Yell grunts quickly appear, showing their support with Marnie print towels and horns.
It's just wild. This is just
so like this is another Team Skull, I feel like, in the sense that they're not ultimately the bad guys. Like what they're doing doesn't strike the world
as
ending.
They're the annoyance group. Like they're into this annoying group that's mostly harmless but are there to be in your way.
And it also, to me, points that Marnie is not a bad guy.
It depends on how, like, what the actual interaction between Marnie and her fans are. Like, that'll tell a lot, too. Like, if Marnie's like, stop, you are annoying me. Which sort of seems the way they're portraying it a little bit. Like, I think that says a lot about Marnie. I don't know. There's a lot there. Am I thrilled about it? It's fine. I'm curious what everything else around the game is, because at this point, like, Team Yell being portrayed as the bad guy team right now is leaving me kind of lukewarm. They aren't interesting to me.
Well, it's either, at this point of everything they've shown, I can't imagine there's, like, another, maybe there is another faction or something they're going to introduce, but at this point, it either has to be Chairman Rose and Leon, or Leon, or Chairman Rose abusing Leon, because Leon's the champion, and that dude's the chairman of the Pokemon League, so obviously there's a relationship there. Whether one is being used for the other, who knows, but it doesn't seem to be Marnie.
Yeah,
and
it's not.
And if Bead is your rival, that would assume that they are the same age, and Leon is significantly older, and they've already done that storyline before, which is N is the one getting abused.
The real crime is that Team Yell is bringing back Vuvuzelas.
No!
That's the real crime. So the theme of Team Yale is they are the sports fans that would paint their face and go to a sporting game and be very loud regardless of if their team is winning or losing. They're going to be loud if their team's winning. They're going to be loud if their team's losing. In this case, I guess their team is Marnie. But I do like that. I think that's thematically very good and very easy to understand. I think if you compare that to Team Skull, I don't think that was really easy to understand that, like, Team Skull was based on, like, Korean b-boys and, like, dancing, and I guess you could, like, default and just say, oh, they like rap music and hip-hop, but that's, like, kind of not properly classifying Korean b-boys.
I don't know enough about Korean b-boys.
I mean, I think you're, like... Team Skull was a harder cultural reach for people outside of that phenomenon where hyperactive sports fans exist in
Everywhere. Every
culture.
Yeah. Also, the whole, like, Team Skull is also poor and lives in poverty was probably not a good look either.
No.
Of, like, oh, they like rap music and they're living in poverty is really...
Team Skull...
Like, that
Team
doesn't
Skull
work in America.
Yeah, Team Skull had a lot of problems with it. I mean, this has a lot of potential problems with it already. Like, there's already a lot of negative connotations and stereotypes around football fans, especially European football fans. Like,
oh, and Packers fans,
yeah,
definitely.
And definitely Packers fans. Packer fans are the worst. But, like, I'm hoping that they handle them with more care than they seem to be. Like, these are pretty much. What we've seen so far is just pretty much the broad stroke stereotype of awful sports fans. And I'm like, I'm a little turned off by it because it feels lazy to me. But well, I'll see how they are in the game.
I
right?
can't imagine anything's more lazy than Flair. Or maybe lazy is not the right word, but man, there was zero... like besides like buying into a cult, which is totally a thing, that Team Flair had, like, what else do they really offer?
I guarantee you that somewhere in some drawer in Game Freak headquarters, quietly locked away, is an alternate story for X and Y that's actually good.
They
had to put it aside for whatever reason, and they will never let the universe see that we could have had a good story.
I mean, the thing is that what Team Flair was when you first met them and what Lysander was actually representing, they didn't match up in any way that made sense. That was sort of the biggest problem with Team Flair.
But that's also the same story of Cyrus. Like, Cyrus had a bunch of followers to go to this distortion world, and Cyrus, like, literally tells the player character, I don't care about my followers. Like, they don't matter
to
me.
Like, but, like, all of Team Plasma was sort of on board with following Cyrus and, like, making
Team
a new
Galactic.
Universe.
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Team Plasma or Team Galactic? Because Team Plasma was an awesome evil team. Thank you.
Team Galactic.
Yeah, I think Team Plasma's fine. But, like...
Team Plasma's fine.
No one interacted with Lysander. That was also part of the problem, right? I think we're saying the same thing. Like,
because, like, Lysander's whole thing, like, Team Flair, like, when you met their grunts, they're like, we like fashion and taking things that are that belong to other people. And then when you get to Lysander, he's like, actually, the problem is that we're running out of resources. And so if we don't kill a whole group of people off, the planet will die. And I'm choosing to get rid of Pokemon for some reason. Like, it's like his motivations came out of nowhere. About, like, we're running out of resources, and if you can't share everything, then nobody should have it. Whereas Team Flair, up until that point, was like, we dress cool, and you pay a lot of money to be in this exclusive group. It was, like, this weird disconnect. And a lot of Flair's sort of effectiveness was killed by X and Y's odd pacing. The fact that you finally get to the bulk of Flair stuff very late, and it's all crammed together, and it's super muddy, like... There's nothing particularly wrong about Team Flair, except they just never made the stories connect in a way that made sense. But they did that a lot in X and Y. A lot of how X and Y flows doesn't make sense. It's just a real weirdly paced game.
the complete opposite of Sun and Moon, where I feel like it is paced really well. And
yeah,
while Team Skull is this b-boy dance hip-hop team that lives in poverty, they're being abused by Lusamine, which I think is interesting in its sense. But also, like, Lusamine isn't trying to destroy the world. Lusamine isn't trying to, like, blow up Alola. All she wants is to capture an Ultra Beast that she lost her husband to, I guess.
She doesn't care. The thing about Lusamine doesn't care if everybody else pays the price. Like, she is after her goal. The end result is sort of the, hey, everybody's going to pay the ultimate price for her actions. Like, I think that's underlined with Guzzlord World in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, that Lusamine's problem wasn't that she was going to destroy the world. That wasn't her goal. That was just a side problem of the goal she was going after. But I think there's a lot of problems with how they represented Team Skull and the fact that they weren't, like, it was most of the problem that they were not the true bad guys, that it was sort of like, well, they're poor and desperate and they're easily used, which isn't a great message.
nope, it's not.
Or, you know, they act this way because of their love of street and because they're poor, also not a great message. Like, there's a lot about the laziness about how Team Skull was written for outside of Japan that's problematic, but I think the idea that underlined Lusamine using whoever she wants and doesn't care about the damage she causes is a plus on the Team Skull storyline. I don't know what we're getting here. I'm not thrilled about how Team Yell is represented because it feels like a watered down version of that Team Skull dynamic, but yeah, they haven't shown us anything. So yeah, I'm just like,
a lot needs to be seen.
On the surface, it feels a little more lazy. Like, oh, everybody's annoyed by out of control sports fans, so these are your bad guys. Like, lazy. Like, I hope there's more to it than that.
Well, I can see them doing the thing twice in a row. Team Skull is the distraction from the real thing. Team Yell is a distraction from the real thing. We're going to do it twice in a row to fool people. Okay, cool. I mean, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's very likely that they are the red herring towards the real plan. Like, the lesson of, yes, these people are annoying, but they're not necessarily evil. And Chairman Rose is the true problem because the people who are in control and corporate greed and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a lot of ways they could go. We'll see when the game actually comes out. But right now, Team Yell, to me, feels slightly lazy.
Pokemon jobs help Pokemon grow. In Galar region, people and Pokemon often work together. Corporations and universities request the help of Pokemon through PokeJobs. Trainers can check the available PokeJobs at Rotom in the Pokemon Center and will be able to send Pokemon directly to their boxes to any job they accept. Trainers will find that certain Pokemon types are suited for specific jobs. The experience gained while on the job will help Pokemon grow, and trainers will receive rare items as rewards.
This is wild. I mean, I love it because it's like Pokepelago, but like different in a way.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that the screenshot
it's the Uber
that
of Pokemon.
Yeah. The screenshot that the show is like, do some construction work, help with cooking, help on our farm, or the darkly worded, protect our investments.
Oh,
like, oh, what? All right, corporation.
I'm assuming you could probably get more than just specific items. I mean, they just announced it, so they're not going to show their entire hand of what you can do. But in, like, Pelago, when they announced Pelago, wasn't it just like, here are some beans, and look, you can grow berries, but then we learned that you can hatch eggs, you can level your Pokemon in Pelago, you can send them off to mine and get shards or fossils, and then...
I mean, we know they get experience for doing it, like...
Yeah, and then...
That's in the screenshot.
There's the Festival Plaza, where you can also get stuff. For example, there's that restaurant that gives you, like, what, 2 complete max out EVs a day?
Yeah.
Where you just talk to that person, they max out EVs. So I'm Maybe you can also EV train? Or maybe... when I think of like this... Greg is right in the fact that this is not like new. Pelago kind of already did this. But like Fallout... Well, a lot of mobile games do this. Like Fallout Shelter is a good one where you can send two of your people from the vault out into the world of Fallout. And sometimes they die. And sometimes they bring back like food or... Or
a
material,
party,
or sometimes they bring back
scorpions.
Like an injured person, and they're like, "Can this person live with us?" Pelago was also really good at saying like, "Oh, Lapras has come to visit. Maybe it'll hang out." So if your Pokemon's going out into a cave, is it maybe going to bring back a Pokemon and experience and a gem of being like, "Hey, I found this injured Zubat, would you like to put it on your team?"
No, it's Poke Buddy. It's like, I made a friend at work.
Yeah, I got a friend at work. A thing that doesn't happen. Dinner?
I found this slack off at work.
I have to go to this work event. Please send Pokemon. So Rotomi is the machine. So we're assuming the Rotomi machine is different than the PC, right?
I would assume there is no PC. I would guess they're going to continue doing the Let's Go Pikachu thing of the PC is in your backpack.
Yeah, it's like a Rotom Dex is what it is. It's just like, it's a cell phone that's a Rotom.
Well, no, the job machine is in the Pokemon Center. There's a screenshot
right.
of it.
Okay.
It looks like
there
an
is,
ATM.
The Rotomi machine.
I don't know. Did you see the image of the... Okay. In the Twitter, a thing about the jobs, and they show, like, you know, they show what the job options are, and then they show how do you pick which Pokemon you put into possibly doing the job or whatever, the box. And then there's the next picture of the trainer, like, all excited.
Yeah.
And there's a Scorbunny and a Grookey and a Sobble. And is that a Rotom?
Yeah, that's the Rotomi machine.
Yeah,
that's the Rotomi.
But it's not red.
Look, Rotom is clearly more talented than Ditto in many outlets. Rotom just learns to transform and adapt.
I guess. I was just thinking, is it like a new Galarian form Rotom?
No, maybe. I think it's just what the ATM thing of Rotom looks like.
I guess in an ATM, you can be anything you want.
Because if you watch the trailer before, there's like a Rotom flying as like a drone, and it looks completely different in that sense. Just assuming they got the Rotom phone, they got the Rotom drone, they got the Rotom ATM. I can't imagine that. Do you even make Rotom catchable? Or is Rotom just a thing that manages things in this game? If only the Pokemon Company has invented other digital Pokemon that could maybe, you know, take some of the workload off of Rotom.
There is only Rotom.
But Porygon is dumb. Rotom at least is smart.
Look, Porygon's data got corrupted over multiple upgrades. You can't trust it anymore.
I'm dubious.
That's very true. All right, one prediction for a Galar Pokemon. Before we move on to Pokemon of the Week. Or maybe not prediction, but what would you like now that we know that Galar forms are real?
Show me Galarian Dunsparce, you cowards.
Oh. Boy, that's a tough one. I don't want a Galarian.
Or evolutions, because we know a Pokemon can technically evolve now, which we haven't seen before.
So we know Betty uses Solosis or Duosion.
Yes.
No, Solosis.
Solosis.
So, Galarian Reuniclus?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not bad. What would it be? What is the European cell? I don't know.
Maybe instead of reunifying from Duosion, it splits into three.
Oh, like a Magneton.
Well, but it's three, and then it has like some ability that like any attack that it does hits three times or something like
Triosion.
That. Triosion, sure. Triuniclus.
Reuniclus, I believe is how they say it.
D Uniclus.
There you go. I would like, I'm gonna, I do believe the rumor of Sudowoodo getting a Galar form. It would be nice to see Sudowoodo evolve. I feel like you already got the baby, and then you got the Sudowoodo. It'd be nice to see like a third version from that, especially for like a Gen 2 Pokemon.
Would it still be pure rock, or would it be something else?
I think the
rock grass.
I think the rumor said that if it, I hate talking about rumors, but I think it said that Sudowoodo would actually be grass and not rock, and that's kind of when it migrated to Johto. It changed its appearance so people would leave it alone or something like that. It's very weird that they didn't. Who knows if that rumor is true or not? Sudowoodo would be nice.
So wait, so instead it's a Trudowoodo?
Trudowoodo?
An actual Woodo?
It would be, because we know there's an icy area, it would be really cool to see like a evolution of Avalug, I think.
Yeah, but we've seen Avalug in there, so I would see nothing. I mean, I'm at this point sort of, we've only seen Budu, so I would be interested if the Roselia line transformed into a different flower type.
Okay. I can't remember Kalos, because that's where Avalug was introduced. There is the, what's the town called? Snow Point? No, not Snow Point. That's Gen 4. Oh, gosh, it's slipping me. Anyways, the town with Wolfric.
Icy Snowtown, yeah.
Icy Snowtown. Snowbell.
Snowbell.
Snowbell
City.
I don't think anything about Kalos says it gets incredibly cold. So you could probably base it off of if there's an area in Galar that gets incredibly cold, it gives Avalug a reason to evolve again.
I can see it.
Yeah, I think Snowbell is only cold because of the gym.
Oh, is that what the lore of that city is?
Wasn't it? I thought...
Like
the gym leaks out the cold or something. I mean, it's like not in the northern...
No, yeah, it's like it's in the middle of the map.
Yeah, so they say the cold air flowing from the Pokemon gym is responsible for the city's frozen state. It's the gym that's made the snow around that area. It's not natural in there.
I mean,
but that said, there is a cold area in X and Y. Isn't that you have to walk through?
Oh, yeah, because you have to do the Mamoswine
the
snow blocks.
That is a cold area.
X and Y is a hot mess.
Still a good game, though.
It's a fun game, but...
I mean, they showed Vanillite, right? It's possible Vanillite could get a strawberry form or something, maybe.
Alcremie, if you evolve Vanillite with an Alcremie, you get Sunday.
Does...
Ice Fairy type.
Does Europe like bananas? Like a banana split?
Nobody likes bananas.
That's what?
Well...
What? I like bananas.
You're lying to yourself.
I love bananas.
You're also lying to yourself.
Maybe Avalug doesn't make sense, because why would Wolfric not use the best he could use?
I'm trying to think if, like, would Kling Klang get something else because of industrialization? I don't know. I mean, if we're looking at they're already doing the smokestack thing, I'm trying to think of, like, we've got smokestack, we've got coal. I'm trying to think along those lines of anything would fit in that. And
Speaking of fitting, Will, give us our Pokemon of the Week.
All right. Well, since we're recording two episodes in one day, putting extra burden on me, you guys need to listen carefully.
Okay.
It's not too difficult, but you may need 2 weeks in order to resolve this Pokemon. All right? So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This week's Pokemon is the same as next week's Pokemon. It is under 2 feet tall, or a half meter for the more elegant countries in the world. It weighs 19.8 American pounds, or 9 kilograms. It has the same type combination as Dawnwing's Necrozma, but it was introduced as a Pokemon much earlier than Necrozma. This week's Pokemon does have something in common with Lunala, though, and not just typing. This week's Pokemon's signature move is Hyperspace Hole. It is a damage-dealing move that ignores and removes most other damage-protecting moves, things like Protect, Wide Guard, etc., for the duration of one turn. You must use an item crafted from Arceus' Splash, Flame, and Earth plates to unlock this Pokemon's true power. There you go. That's clue number one. Clue number two is next week, obviously.
Okay, got it. So next week's episode is a little weird. We're actually recording it later today, and then I'm editing it, and then I'm going to get it queued up for Monday, because I will be in D.C., because of the Pokemon World Championships. And if you are also in D.C. from August 15th through the 18th,
don't false advertise. You ain't getting here on the 15th until late at night.
That's true. The 16th through the 18th. Please find myself or Will. You can find us on Twitter. Me dragging a lake, Will washing the sink. Greg will not be there, but at White Wing on Twitter.
I'll be at PAX West, though.
Yes. So we have a PAX West panel at 3 p.m. on Friday, the 30th. Just a heads up there for anyone going to PAX West. So if there's, I am sure there will probably be one new Pokemon probably shown at Worlds. It might just be Impidimp, honestly. So when you listen to the episode,
no, it's going to be Uggadump.
When you listen to the episode on the 19th and you're like, why didn't they talk about this news? It's because we've already recorded that episode early. But we'll get to that obviously when we get back from Worlds. But yes, so that's kind of the game plan. We got a bunch of questions, so next week's episode will be a huge email show of Pokemon non-Pokemon questions and a couple non-Pokemon questions. So it should be fun. We haven't done an email show in a while. And this show was very news-heavy, so I think you guys can go a week without breaking Pokemon news. Not that anyone listens to this podcast for breaking Pokemon news, as Twitter and the internet is pretty good at providing you that news pretty quickly. But yeah, I think that's our episode. Thank you all for listening. I'm trying to think of if there's anything else I need to remind you all of. Pokemon Worlds next week, or I guess at the end of this week of this episode. PAX West at the end of the month. And yeah, I think that's it. I think we're good. If you use Apple Podcasts and you want to leave a review, I'm greatly appreciated. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/itsupereffective. And if you want to watch something at night on Twitch, twitch.tv/pkmncast. I stream pretty much every night. Otherwise, I think that's our show. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome.
You are very welcome.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Smokestacks.
Charles. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And Benedict.
Charles and Benedict, yes.
Like every podcast on the internet, we are funded by Patreon. This is a shout out to all the supporters at the producer tier on Patreon. A huge thank you to Alex, Anthony, Catherine, Matthew, Jeffrey, Kevin, and Cygnus. If you would like to join our community and support the podcast, you can head over to ise.cash for more information.